Welcome to another edition of the Derek Evans Show, where we talk about the Shinsei Method and other topics relevant to your business, to your work, to your family, to your life. Calmness is a value, and really, inner calmness is a value. In this segment, I want to talk about what the Shinsei Method is all about, because one of the reasons, and actually one of the goals of the Shinsei Method, is to serve as a waypoint, a reference, some form and method to help you to navigate through many of the challenges you often face towards specific values that you've defined for yourself. Three steps of the Shinsei Method are to analyze your key terms, define those terms in an individually suitable way, act on those terms, reevaluate, repeat. Now, if you take that approach, the Shinsei approach, life principle approach, you're going to set yourself apart from most other people in many situations. That's just the nature of the situation, unfortunately, particularly in America and in many of the other Western countries. There are some countries, I'm more familiar with Japan, where this tends to be less so. In other words, things like honor, integrity, honesty, competence, skill, knowledgeability, these things tend to be rewarded in the Japanese culture, and that goes for families, companies, many social settings. In other words, if you're a person of character, you raise yourself in the esteem of other people in Japan very often. And built into that approach, that cultural phenomenon in Japan, is the encouragement for individuals to develop those specific characteristics. In other words, if you have a characteristic that other people hold in high esteem, and you can tell by the way they compensate you for it, by the way that you may be promoted in jobs, by the way that they act when they see you demonstrate these very important characteristics, let's say calmness, or let's say precaution, another very important value. It encourages you to practice those particular characteristics and traits. But when you're in many social settings that do not, and I'm speaking from experience and living in America, across the board, in work, in school, in family, very often you do not get the kind of social reward for those individual characteristics that tend to build up your character and, of course, tend to make you more trustworthy, tend to minimize risk. All of these important factors that really derive as consequences from these important characteristics. Rational characteristics, rationality, in other words. So when you set yourself apart in that way, in many social settings, it makes it very difficult. It makes it difficult, quite frankly, to earn a living, because many social settings, you have to operate within a social settings that don't tend to reward you for the characteristics that you've taken a considerable time in your life to build up. And again, I'm speaking from personal experience. And if you are required to face those kind of challenges in many social settings, there's a lot of hard choices you have to make. You have to ask yourself, does it make sense for me to pursue this value of calmness or this value of precaution, taking the necessary precautions when I sign a contract by reading it first, for example, when 99% of the people that I see do not read the contracts. That goes for online practices to other important situations. Now, obviously, the most intelligent people who are in business and who do this for a living, will read a contract or have someone help them to read it, a lawyer read a contract. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not giving legal advice. I'm just using an example that most people can understand to highlight what I'm talking about in terms of a social practice that is contrary to any kind of objective standard for rationality and just common sense. Obviously, if you read a contract, it's better for you, but most people don't. So if you're the kind of person that has that characteristics, that those inner characteristics and inner value system that prompts you to tend to want to read contracts to tend to take that precaution and take other precautions as well. Precaution is a very good word and a very good principle right now with a international health crisis where there's a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of hysteria, there's a lot of false reporting, and you really don't know whom or what to trust. And so these kind of inner characteristics become even more important, like precaution. Taking precaution for your own individual life is always a good idea, no matter what other people are doing. And that's the point. I just hit on the crux of the Shinsei matter, the Shinsei advantage. Because to get yourself to a point where you can strive toward a value like precaution or calmness that many other people in most settings are not demonstrating and not rewarding you for demonstrating, you need something inside. I call it the three pillars of individuality, well-being, and profitability. One of those is self-trust. Self-trust gives you the inner strength and a balance to be able to say to yourself, I'm going to pursue this value despite what other people are doing. Now, you've heard many people talk about this very often. You've heard many people say you have to do what's right regardless of what other people are doing. And you've heard other people say things like anything worthwhile or anything worth doing is always difficult. All these kinds of platitudes that actually have a lot of wisdom, many people just quote them as platitudes, and then they drift out there, and they're not tied down to any kind of meaning at all. One of the most influential writers to me and philosophers was Ayn Rand. She used to call this a floating abstraction. Very good characterization of that idea. It's just an idea that's floating out there, and it's not tied down to any practical meaning, any practical sense. So when I talk about a platitude, I call it a platitude because most people use it as a platitude, but when I quote it, I go toward the meaning behind it. And right, it's true. Many of the things that are most worthwhile are very difficult. Now, you have to ask yourself what people who quote that adage very often encourage you to do, or very often don't encourage you to do, is ask why. Why should that be the case? Why should it be difficult for you to demonstrate precaution or calmness? Shouldn't that be easy? What does that tell you about other people? What does that tell you about the nature of the world and the nature of social settings? When things are that should really be easy, that build and that are constructive, are actually quite difficult. It's very, very enlightening interrogation, in a sense, or interrogative. It's a very enlightening question to ask yourself. It's a rhetorical question. Obviously, it shouldn't be, but it is. So you have to develop a strategy for yourself for dealing with that kind of difficulty. And it's not enough to just quote that adage, that phrase. Self-trust, inner balance, inner strength, that's what's really needed. Because when you're in a personal setting and people are dismissing what you're doing, as they will often do, by not paying attention, by not doing it themselves. Another example I often like to go to is exercise. I exercise on a regular basis. I always do something. I always like to be physically fit, if you want to call it, but I like to do physical activity because, frankly, it makes me feel great or better. And, you know, this has been demonstrated and shown medically and scientifically to actually help and boost your mental well-being. So exercise is very good for you, not to overdo it, but on a regular basis. Most other people that I know don't, even people who have been close to me. When I grew up, I had two parents that smoked and a brother that smoked cigarettes. So you know that exercise wasn't too terribly important to them. So how do you, in that very typical social setting where you first begin, how do you then gravitate toward the principle and value of exercise and health when all the people around you are doing the complete opposite? See, quoting the platitude is not enough. you have to have some kind of inner motivation to push through that. And that really is what the Shinsei method is all about. Giving you a firm foundation, a firm understanding of those key values to understand why you hold them for yourself so that you can actually maintain them despite the lack of encouragement. And it's an ongoing battle. It's not always easy, and you'll have a lot of doubts. I often did this, and this is another reason I developed the Shinsei method, because what happens is when you're in many social settings and you are striving toward values like precaution, exercise, health and well-being, these kind of constructed values that build calmness, inner calm, that build you up, and a lot of other people are not doing that, you start to question the relevance and the practicality of these values you have. And then the next step is very often easy to make, and I know I did this, is to start doubting your own values and then ultimately doubting yourself, and then that leads you to feelings of things like depression. Now, I'm not a psychologist, but I don't need to be, because I experienced this. I'm speaking from personal experience. And then once you start feeling depressed, it becomes very difficult, if not impossible, to do most other things. And then it's a vicious cycle. You start to doubt the values you have, because the values you have are not producing the kind of social rewards that would help you to say, yes, this value is valid and valuable. I'm going to pursue it no matter what. So I have found that inner strength, inner balance, and particularly self-trust are crucial to strive toward these key values that tend to be not socially accepted in many cases. You'll hear a lot of publicity for them. You will hear very few people say that they're not important. You won't hear too many people say it's not good to be precautious or to take precautions. But you'll see very few people doing it. They'll go out to a party, they'll drink, and then they'll get in a car. That's not taking a precaution. A precaution is putting yourself in a situation where that's not even an option. But most other people don't do that. You go to some kind of a party or a get-together that's almost always having some kind of alcohol, and everybody drove there. And not once will anybody even consider taking a taxi. The people who organize it won't. The people who come there won't. It's just kind of an unwritten rule that it's up to everybody on his own, and most other people don't do that. They get in the car and they're drunk. Now, how drunk they are, that's another issue entirely, but you shouldn't drink and drive at all. I don't drink and I don't smoke. So it's a really easy thing. When I'm in a situation like that, I don't drink at all. But I'm talking from experience where you have, in many social settings, this kind of attitude that precautions and taking precautions and being cautious is not really valid and valuable. And yet you're trying to be that way. Another example is calmness. Inner calmness is a very important value. But in most social settings, you get very little incentive and very little encouragement for developing. If you show it and demonstrate it, other people won't typically copy you and say, yeah, this is a really good thing to be. Let me try to emulate this person. Most of the time, they'll look at you like you're crazy, and then they'll blow up like a bomb. And that's the normal setting. Or they'll do other things that are completely, that lack a total lack of calmness. So what happens is, in many social settings, people also do things that are also very annoying as well. I was washing a car very recently, and you need a little space to do that. And in the apartment where I'm living, the person came out, and then they parked their car like 2 inches away. Didn't give you any room to do what you had to do. And then they were going back and forth to their car, really not giving them any space to do that. So, you know, you move your vehicle, you wait, or something, you're going to be bumping into them. But this is not what people typically do. What did I do? I moved the car, but I got a little annoyed. I probably shouldn't have. I should have been a little bit more calm. And I realized at that moment how important it is to be calm inside and why it's a value. It's a value to you. That's the key takeaway, as they say. The value is valuable to you. And if you come to that recognition, it becomes much easier to develop a level of inner strength and about self-trust. But most importantly, it gives you a motivation and a willingness and a desire to pursue it. This is valuable to me. I know that calm is value because it keeps me out of trouble. I know a lot of other people are doing it. People will often test it. But calmness is a very important value in itself, and it's good to develop it as an inner characteristic. Unfortunately, many of these inner values, people don't assign value to. Most of the time when people talk about value, it's monetary or financial, some kind of material object. And those have value as well, but so do mental states. And of course, calmness is a mental state, and it's a practice. It's an ongoing it's an ongoing practice of training. It's an ongoing conduct of training. It's training, basically, to train yourself to be have inner calm and to have calm in those kind of settings. It's a very noble goal to strive towards. So you ask yourself, why would I want to do that? Because in most social settings, people don't. That's the point. That's number one, the point of the Shinsei method. Analyze, define, act, reevaluate, repeat. Develop the three pillars of individuality, well-being, and profitability, inner strength, and about self-trust. Number two, it's valuable in itself to you. So that's why you do it. And that's why it's important to do it, and that's why it's a value. And it's a very important value, and there are others. Precaution is a very important value. But in most social settings, particularly in America, you don't see a lot of people doing that. So It falls on you to develop it on yourself. And what I'm trying to do, and what I do with the Shinsei method, and the Shinsei method has a goal to do, is to get you to understand that on your own, that these values are important in and of themselves, so that you have a compass for yourself, and you can develop them so that it won't matter what other people are doing. You'll do it because it's important to you, and it's valuable to you. Let's say in the case of calmness, it keeps you out of trouble, but so does precaution, taking precautions. In many social settings, I'll give you another example that's very easy to understand, sex. People like to talk about sex a lot. It's a very important topic if you're an adult. And people are often seeing this. You see this on many movies. People are often engaged in sexual acts in the movies in particular. They just leap into it. They take all the clothes off. Can you recall a time when you've ever seen anybody taking the precaution for, let's say, birth control, contraceptive steps? Do people talk about that often? Do they bring it with them? This should be really a part of the topic of conversation when you're thinking about something as important as sex because of the consequences, potential consequences. But very often you don't do that. Now, if you're the only person that does that, you're the odd man out. But look why you're the odd man out. You're the odd man out because you want to practice something that actually keeps you out of trouble and it has objective value. And you're the odd man out because most other people don't do that. It's the way it is. So in order to develop a inner strength and a balanced self-trust, it becomes really a purpose for the Shinsei method, but it really then serves as a foundation for you to develop these important principles and values for yourself so that you have your own personal value system and you can do it despite what other people are doing and despite that there may not be a lot of external rewards for these values. There may be mostly internal rewards in you, but that's good enough. Getting yourself to that point really is what the Shinsei method is all about. And it's really what life is all about in a sense, because getting yourself to that point is really the battle. The battle of a mentality, of a mindset to have for yourself. It's not easy to do because the social settings, many of the social settings, particularly in America now, I said in many cases, in many ways, Japan is very different. But in America, there's a cultural environment that tends to degrade these kind of important constructive values. So in order to get yourself to have a mindset to build up constructive values on your own, things like calmness, precaution, caution, prudence, balance is another important value, strength. And I don't mean strength necessarily physical strength, although that's important. I mean a strength of character, which ultimately what that means is not a, quote, forceful personality, which usually means, in practical terms, someone who's belligerent. I'm not talking about that kind of, that's not really strength as far as I'm concerned. When I say strength of character, I'm talking about self-restraint. That's strength of character. You want to do something, but you pull yourself back. That's precaution. That's what inner strength is all about. That's strength. Discipline. You don't really want to do something, you do it anyway. Cleaning, you know, is not so fun all the time, depending on what it is. Some things you might like to clean. I personally like to clean jewelry, for example. I get a sense of that. Or knives, I like and enjoy that. Wood, I also enjoy cleaning and finishing that. But other kinds of things, like sweeping up a floor, I'm not so fond of, but I'll do it. Washing dishes, I'm not so fond of, but I'll do it. That's inner strength. That's what I mean by strength, inner strength. When something has to be done, you don't always feel like brushing your teeth, but you do it. Inner strength, because that's a precaution, right? It's a precautionary step. See, I wanted to take in this segment of the show and show the how these principles are interrelated and how there's a fabric to understanding that is always missed and dismissed in many, many, many social settings, and particularly throughout school, and especially in college. But there's an interrelatedness to these principles, and many of these principles have what I call byproduct benefits that accrue to you. When you talk about precaution, when you're taking precautions, it's related to things like inner strength, self-discipline. So if you're demonstrating a level of self-discipline, you tend to do things that will help you to be cautious and take precautions. So they strengthen each other, is my point. Another very important value that's often missed, and that's one of the things that I want to highlight and always highlight on this show and at theshinseimethod.com. Until the next time on the Derek Evans Show, where we talk about the Shinsei Method and other topics relevant to you, to your business, to your work, to your family, to your life.